Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps if you can't, if I tell you a story.
We are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen plays, we urge you calmly, sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to The Horror. Thanks for joining me today. We'll hear from Beyond Midnight this week in their episode based on a story by A.M. Burridge titled Smee. This one first aired December 27th, 1968. Beyond Midnight aired for 78 episodes between 1968-1970. Here it is, Smee.
Yes. No. Oh, don't look at me like that, Christopher.
Oh, it's all right.
When I say I'm one of the world's workers, I mean it.
I'm sure you do.
It's all right for you and your friends. Stock exchange, private business, all your own masters. You know, I could have made it yesterday, Christmas Eve, as well, if I enjoyed a four-day week.
Who's for Smee? I say we play Smee. Just the job in a house like this, especially at Christmas.
All right. Stop apologizing. We're delighted to see you anyway. You got here and in one piece in time for Christmas dinner, so that's that. Brandy, my teacher?
Dad, we've decided on Smee.
Smee? What's that?
It's a game. You'll like it.
If there are going to be any games like that going on in the house, be careful of the back stairs, that's all.
Oh, of course. We're going to play Smee. Come on, volunteers.
He grows.
He certainly does.
You know, last time I saw him, he was embroiled in school search.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I suppose the dark girl's his fiancée.
Yes, that's right.
Look, what's this, a Smee business?
Smee? Well, it's a game. Just a game. Oh, now, drink.
What?
Smee. It's a game. Something like go hide and seek. They played it that night at the Sangstons. Just an ordinary game. Smee. Great fun at Christmas. An ordinary Christmas, that is. But there was nothing ordinary about that Christmas night.
Beyond Midnight.
Right, about a dozen's the best number.
Oh, we'll all probably get lost. I mean, in a house this size, your architect certainly didn't believe in economizing, did he?
Just everybody be careful of the back stairs on the first floor landing, that's all. Especially if we're going to have all the lights out.
Oh. Well, of course we'll need the lights out. I'll get the paper.
I don't know how to play. Is it like hide and seek, you say?
Dad will explain.
Why must we be careful of the back stairs, Christopher?
Well, in the dark, anybody who doesn't know the house very well might think they were walking into a room. A girl actually did break her neck on those stairs about 10 years ago when the Ainsters lived here.
Oh, Reggie, let's play in the light.
But how on earth did it happen?
Oh, there was a party here one Christmas. They were playing hide and seek. This girl was one of the hiders. She ran away to escape someone coming, opened the door to what she thought was a bedroom, and fell. Well, the staircase is almost as steep as the shaft of a pit.
Oh,
horrible.
I'm afraid she was dead when they picked her up. So, please be careful.
Well, I'll confine my smeeing to the first floor in that case. I'm too young.
And far too beautiful, Captain Ransom, to go throwing yourself down staircases.
Oh, she's off again.
Throw yourself at me. I'll catch you.
Oh. Here we are. Now, each of us gets a sheet of paper. Mm-hmm. All the sheets are blank except one. Now, on this one is written the word
Smee. Yes, nobody knows who Smee is, of course, except Smee himself, or herself, as the case may be. But no, hold on. The lights are turned out, and Smee slips from the room and then goes and hides. Then, after a bit, all the rest of us goes to look for him, or her, as the case may be, of course. Now, we don't know who we're looking for, naturally, because it's dark. So, when we meet someone, somewhere in the house, we challenge with the word Smee.
Oh.
Right? Now, the real Smee makes no answer when challenged, see?
Oh.
The second player just remains with him because it's obvious he's Smee. They wait then for the other players to come, and in the end you form a sort of chain, all hiding quietly, waiting for the rest. We used to play it at university, only there, of course, with the lights out and the undergraduate arts faculty women.
Oh, well, yes.
Everybody soon forgot about looking for anyone. It's a jolly good game, though. Marvellous in a sprawling old place like this. Here we are. Look, I've got all the papers. Right. That's a round dozen of us, then, with Dad and Mum. I'll go and put the lights out.
Just one last word of warning, then. Please watch the stir.
Well, I'm insured by 3 different newspapers. Nothing could possibly happen to me. Now, Brother Maxwell has all the ill luck in our family.
How is Maxwell these
days? Oh, broken his arm.
Right, lights out.
My shed.
I'll check the other lights, and then as soon as I'm back, we'll start. 30 seconds, and Smee creeps out.
Everybody had a look at their sheets of paper? I have.
Well, darling, we all know it's not you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Of course, I might not be me. I might have disguised my voice.
Who's smoking? Put it out. If you're Smee, we'll see your fag in front of the room.
Awfully black, isn't it? Oh, stop it, you filthy beast.
Okay. 30 seconds and Smee creeps out.
Smee!
Me?
Ah, pardon you all. I didn't think about looking behind here. Anyway,
Shh. We're not all here yet.
I'm sorry.
Me?
Oh, like that. I'm not the last, am I? Blast, that's me for a forfeit.
We are all here, aren't we? Can't see to count.
Hang on a minute. There we are.
Why do you keep these little stairs curtained off, Chris? Just for games of Smee?
No, they lead to the attic. We don't use them much. You ought to have got another match.
Yeah, here.
2, 3, 4, 5... Andrew, Miriam, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, best of all, that's one too many.
What? One too what, Christopher?
Well, one too many. Well, we're 12, aren't we? Well, I just counted 13.
Oh, nonsense. There are only 12 of us in this house.
There are 13 people here. I haven't counted myself yet.
Oh, here. There we are. I've got a bit of light on the scene.
Jeez, I bet you used that torch during the game.
11, 12. Well, I could have sworn I counted 13. Twice, in fact.
You can't count.
You know, darling, don't laugh, but I thought there was someone sitting 2 steps above me. Have you moved, Captain Ransom?
No. But wasn't there somebody between you and me, Vi?
I thought so, yes. Silly, isn't it?
Well, there's only 12 of us, and There can only be 12 of us. So...
It's cold, isn't it?
Come on. Let's get back and have another game.
A nice game, Smee. A fun game at Christmas. The man who was one of the world's workers, Jackson, he was Smee next. And they soon found him. They waited a little while before having a third game, and Jackson noticed that Reggie Sangston was looking very white. He inquired what was the matter, and Reggie at once dragged him into the smoke room.
That's better. Have a brandy. Heaven knows, I need one.
Well, what's the matter?
I don't know. You were Smee just now, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I didn't know who Smee was, so while Mother and the rest of them ran down the west wing and found you, I turned east. There's a good deep cupboard in my room, and I marked it down as a possible hiding place, you see. When I opened the door and... Here. Cheers.
Cheers. You looked in the cupboard.
Mm-hmm. I opened the door and I felt round in the dark and I touched somebody's hand. I said Smee and there was no reply. So I thought I'd found Smee.
And?
Well, I don't know how it was, but this sort of odd, creepy feeling came over me. I felt there was something wrong. There was something in there, you see. I turned on my torch then, see?
Who was it?
No one. The cupboard was empty.
Yes.
I touched a hand. I was filling the doorway with my body. No one could have got out.
Have you imagined you touched a hand?
I must have imagined it, mustn't I? I mean, it couldn't have been anything else but imagination. Could it?
Reggie Sangston was like a man who knows he is right, but doesn't expect to be believed. They returned to the others, and somehow it seemed to Jackson that all enthusiasm for the game had gone, melted away like a white frost in strong sunlight. There was a strange feeling of oppression hanging over the 12. And some sixth sense told Jackson that there was an influence in the house that was neither sane, sound, nor healthy. If someone had suggested another game, it would have been readily accepted. But no one did. And so, they began to play Smee again. The next game was as noisy as ever, but it seemed to Jackson at least that most of the party were acting. There was no enjoyment left. Jackson hunted with the main pack, but after a few minutes and no Smee had come to light, his instinct to play winning games, to be first if possible, set him searching on his own account. He followed the curve of the wall along the west wing.
Should be getting simpler.
Jackson touched a pair of human knees.
Oh.
Oh, the window seats. You're in there.
Smee.
And then he touched the bare arm of a woman.
Smee?
All right, I found you.
Dark as the plague in Egypt. Wonder how long it'll be before the others find us. What's your name, Smee?
Brenda Ford.
Oh. You must be the girl I didn't meet when I arrived. The tall girl with dark hair. Lovely. Lovely dark hair. Forgive me, I'm not getting fresh. Smee, of course, is a game of silence. Smee and the person who finds Smee are supposed to keep quiet and make it more difficult for the others. Still, there's no one about. Where do you come from? Known the Sangstons long? Look, it's all right, you know. You can talk. There's no one around. They're all down the other wing.
And then, of course, Jackson began to be annoyed. Cold, superior type, this woman. Sheltering behind the rules of the game because she didn't like men or something. Very striking, though, Jackson remembered, from his first glimpse of her at dinner. He had no inclination to make a fool of himself, so he leaned back against the window in the alcove and waited, wishing that the others would hurry. And then, for no reason at all, Jackson shivered. Wasn't even cold.
Not cold? Something's wrong. Something.
And a strange foreboding settled upon him. It was on the point of turning into pure terror when a woman's hand rested for an instant upon his shoulder.
Me? Oh, Tony, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not Smee, are you?
No, she's on my other side.
Oh. Hello, Smee. How are you? Who are you? Is it against the rules to talk? Never mind, we'll break the rules. You know, Tony, this game's beginning to irk me a little. I hope they're not going to run it to death by playing it all night long.
Well, soon be morning. I don't know about night.
Oh, really? This must be the last. It really must. I'd like to play something where we can all be together in a nice, big, lighted room with a lovely, bright fire.
Yeah, same here.
Can't you suggest something when we go down? Something really uncanny about this game.
You were going to say something?
Oh, you laugh.
Oh, don't actually feel much like laughing. Actually, I feel this is a bit silly. Suddenly all this has become childish.
Yes, I thought so. You felt it too.
Hmm?
I can't quite shed the delusion that there's somebody in the game who oughtn't to be in it at all.
Yes, I wonder where the others are. Say, She's a miserable thing, isn't she?
Who?
You know, her. Can't tell in this dark. I think it's the tall, dark girl, you know, the good-looking one. Mm. Although
Hello? Is that Sheila there? Is it Sheila? Vi? Is it you? No, Vi was with us. Are they in the house? Between you and me, I think Captain Ransom's a bit sweet on her. Of course, he's very honourable. Good friend of Christopher's. I know he's honourable, darling, because I, he's under the mistletoe kiss with me. It's most moral. I adore my husband, but neither of us are particularly strict about Christmas flirtations.
It isn't the dark girl, then. Well, who is it?
Who? Her. Oh, might be Penny. Penny Sierra's about all the Smee nonsense, isn't she? Personally, I'm a bit sick of it. Sick of it!
Hello?
Oh, well, that's done something anyway. Oh, oh dear. Oh, I ought to have a luminous watch. It's too dark.
Hello? Anybody there?
Yes. It's Reggie, isn't it? Yes. Reggie, isn't it? Oh, yes.
Mrs. Gorman, with you?
Yes.
Yes, she's here.
Well, you're a nice pair, you are. You're both forfeited. We've all been waiting for you for hours.
Oh, the light hurts my eyes up. What?
What do you mean? You haven't found Smee yet.
You haven't, you mean? I was Smee myself. Come on, we've stopped playing anyway.
And... Smee is here with us.
Yes.
What are you talking?
But...
Where?
There's no one there.
What's the matter?
There was somebody there, because I touched her.
So did I. And, well, I don't see how she could have got up and gone without our knowing it.
Anyway,
somebody's been playing the goat this evening.
Yes. Coming down? Here they are.
No.
Where on earth have you been?
Yes, Reggie, he's found them.
Where did you get to, Tony? We've been waiting.
I found them, believe it or not, sitting on a window seat behind the curtain.
Aye, aye. Oh,
no. Really?
Not as bad as you, Mr. Gorman.
Not as bad.
Hello. Why were you so silent? And how did you get away?
Pardon?
Have you met Sheila, Tony? Sheila Wordsworth. Been dying to meet you, darling.
Wasn't it you? I mean, sitting with us behind the curtain.
No, I was down here waiting for you.
Now, don't start with that again, Tony. You'll make me go all goose-flesh. Oh, bye. Can I help you?
No, of course, Mrs. G said it wasn't you. It's odd. Anyway,
A word in your ear, Tony, aren't you? Now, come into the smoke room. Have a drink with me.
Oh, excuse me.
Look, we've got a nice crowd here. Vi was a bit peeved, you know.
Hmm?
Well, waiting like that. I mean, if you want to flirt with our delightful Mrs. G, that's your business.
Oh, yeah, hang on.
But in circumstances which I might add would have been highly compromising in my young days, well, that's fine. Up to you, but look, don't do it and keep everybody waiting. That's a good chef. Brandy?
But there was somebody else there.
Would you prefer Scott?
Listen, there was somebody else there. Someone pretending to be Smee. She denies it, but I believe it was that tall, dark girl, Miss Ford. Although I can't think how she... What's up?
What?
I said I reckon the mysterious person was Miss Ford. She denies it, but she even whispered her name to me.
Miss who?
Brenda Ford, she told me her name was. What?
Look here, old man. I don't mind a joke, but don't let it go too far. I mean, we don't want all the women in the house getting hysterical. Brenda Ford was the name of the girl who broke her neck on the stairs playing hide-and-seek here 10 years ago. Shall we join the others?
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.
That's our horror for this week. Be back next Saturday with another episode. In between now and then, you can visit relicradio.com. Find past episodes of this podcast, all the other shows, more from Beyond Midnight, and everything else Relic Radio. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help out, click on that. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Saturday with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.